Second Samuel chapter 14. Second Samuel chapter 14. This morning we consider the games people play. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and I thank you for David. A man after your own heart, you said. And yet there came complications in his life. Some of these things we're going to talk about today involve him and involve some other people and games other people played. Help us to understand the importance of being honest and true. I pray for your help. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm not really big on playing games, but there are a few games I can enjoy. One of those is the game of chess. Strategy, maneuvers, even some trickery or deception. You don't want to make your moves too obvious or your opponent knows exactly what your objective is and he can counter it very easily. But life is not a game. Unfortunately, some people play at life as if it were a game. They like to maneuver and they like to strategize and they like to use trickery and deception to manipulate people rather than simply confronting life circumstances head on, openly and directly. 2 Samuel chapter 14 gives us a couple of examples of games people play. In chapter 13, verse 39, it said, "The soul of King David longed to go forth unto Absalom." Remember what had happened. Absalom had killed Amnon because Amnon did something bad to his sister. Absalom went away. He's gone for 2 years. David was comforted, it says in 13:39, concerning Amnon, and he longed to go forth unto Absalom. Now, here is a case where it's very important to define words. Because the word longed can have a couple of different connotations. And Joab misinterpreted the connotation of David's words. He probably said something to Joab about, "I long to go to Absalom." In a moment, I'll come to that interpretation, but notice in chapter 14, verse 1, "Now Joab, the son of Zeruiah, perceived that the king's heart was toward Absalom," that is, in favor of Absalom. However, we're going to find out that this was not the case because down in chapter 28 and 29, we find out that after Absalom comes back, David refused to speak to him for 2 years. Well, if his heart was toward Absalom and Absalom comes back, why does he not speak to him for 2 years? Well, let's look at this word longed. It comes from Strong's number. You don't have to know Hebrew to define these words. Just have the proper kind of dictionary called Strong's Concordance. You look it up. It has a number associated with the Old Testament word. In this case, the number is 03615. It's used 206 times in the Old Testament. Strong's number tells you that. 57 of those times, it's translated consume. 44 times, it's translated end. 20 times, it's translated finish. And at least four of those times it's translated determined. That doesn't sound very much like David was interested in going after Absalom to give him a hug. David was determined to go after Absalom. Sometimes life's circumstances require us to interpret things. What did he mean by that? Why did he do that? How am I expected to respond to that? Unfortunately, Joab misinterpreted David's thought. It says in 2 Samuel chapter 14, verse 1, that Joab perceived. The word perceive means to interpret what you hear, to sense, to discern, to recognize. But Joab's sense of what David was saying was wrong. So Joab comes up with a plan, which really boggles my mind, because if Joab thought that David's heart was toward Absalom, why does he go through this game he's going to play? Verse 2, Joab sent to Tekoa and fetched thence a wise woman, and I'll have something to say about that word wise in a moment, and said unto her, I pray thee, feign thyself to be a mourner. Now, what does that word feign mean? Pretend. You're not going to be a mourner, but you're going to pretend to be a mourner. Feign thyself to be a mourner, and put on now mourning apparel, and anoint not thyself with oil, but be as a woman that had a long time mourned for the dead, and come to the king and speak on this matter unto him. And Joab put the words in her mouth. Verse 4, when the woman of Tekoa spoke to the king, she fell on her face to the ground and did obeisance and said, help, O king. David's sitting on his judgment seat, and the woman comes for a judgment from the king. She's called a wise woman. Strong's number 02450. You can look it up. As per a number of words, they can have different connotations, and so does this one. This word can be used in a positive way, and it's not the only Bible word that's translated wise. So this word can also be used in a very negative way, meaning to be shrewd or crafty or cunning, or wily, or subtle. Joab picked the right woman, I suppose, for the game he's going to play with David. Verse 5, and the king said unto her, what aileth thee? And she answered, I am indeed a widow woman, and mine husband is dead. Verse 5, the king said unto her, what aileth thee? She answered, oh, I read that, verse 6. And thy handmaid, verse 6, thy handmaid had two sons, and they two strove together in the field, and there was none to part them, but the one smote the other and slew him. Now, what does that sound like? David had two sons, one named Amnon, one named Absalom. What did Absalom do? Killed the other one. Verse 7, behold, the whole family is risen against thine handmaid. And they said, deliver him that smote his brother, that we may kill him for the life of his brother whom he slew, and we will destroy the heir also. And so they shall quench my coal which is left. Now she uses the word coal as a metaphor for her son, as one lump of coal left among the ashes, actually referring to her remaining son, She doesn't want her remaining son executed for the murderer because that's the only lump of coal she has left. Get the metaphor. And consequently, the end of verse 7, shall not leave to my husband neither name nor remainder upon the earth. Because she had no daughters, and now she'll have no sons, there will be no one to inherit her husband's part. Now, remember the fake story that Nathan used to bring conviction to David's heart when he had sinned. That was a divinely appointed metaphor. This is different. Joab obviously is aware of that fake story that the prophet Nathan used. So he thinks he's going to be cute and do the same thing, only this isn't appointed by God. Joab's not a prophet. He didn't have a message from God to do this. And why does he have to use a wily woman to manipulate David if David's heart is already towards Absalom? Verse 8, the king said unto the woman, go to thine house, and I will give charge concerning thee. Now, if this were a legitimate case, the woman would be satisfied. She'd leave, confident the king will take care of everything. Verse 9, and the woman of Tekoa said unto the king, my lord, O king, the iniquity be on me and on my father's house, and the king and his throne be guiltless. If there's anything wrong in this case, let me bury the burden, and may the king and his administration not be blamed for whatever happens. And the king said in verse 10, whosoever saith aught unto thee, bring him to me, and he shall not touch thee any more. David said, don't worry about it. I'll take care of everything. This should be done. Then she said in verse 11, I pray thee, let the king remember the Lord thy God, that thou wouldest not suffer the revengers of blood to destroy any more, lest they destroy my son. And he said, as the Lord liveth, there shall not one hair of thy son fall to the earth. She insisted on a stronger statement from David that he will make sure her remaining son will not die. And David gave her an oath that that would be the case. Verse 12. And the woman said, let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak one more word unto my lord the king. And he said, say on. She just won't let it go. Because she has an objective. Verse 13, and the woman said, wherefore then hast thou thought such a thing against the people of God? She equates her extended family to the people of God. Here's the metaphor, she says. My extended family who wants to kill my remaining son are like the people of God who want Absalom dead. For the king doth speak this thing as one which is faulty. David, you have a problem. In that the king doth not fetch home again his banished. You are encouraging people to be against Absalom by your refusal to bring Absalom back. Verse 14, for we must needs die and are as water spilt on the ground which cannot be gathered up again. She's referring to Amnon's death. Amnon's dead. Amnon's death is like water spilled on the ground. Did you ever spill water on the ground? Can you get it back? Did you ever try to separate water from dirt? Not the easiest thing to do, is it? I imagine if you had the right equipment, but that would be ridiculous. And she says, the death of your son is just like spilt water. He's gone. You can't bring him back. And then she says, neither doth God respect any person, yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him. Now she's starting to get into some theological things that are not exactly correct. Exodus chapter 21 and verse 12 says, he that smiteth a man so that he die shall surely be put to death. Going back to what we just talked about recently, if you murder someone, can you say to the judge, well, I've confessed this to God and God has forgiven me, so I should be let free? Think the judge is going to let you free? Now, what Amnon did also should have been dealt with, and David didn't deal with that. But Absalom was in no position of authority to take matters into his own hand. And the woman lies and claims that she came to the king about Absalom because the people were bothering her so much because of the complaints. Note verse 15. Now therefore that I am come to speak of this thing unto my lord the king, it is because the people have made me afraid. And thy handmaid said, I will now speak unto the king. It may be that the king will perform the request of his handmaid, for the king will hear to deliver his handmaid out of the hand of the man that would destroy me and my son together out of the inheritance of God. Oh, the people have been complaining to me. Why are the people complaining to this woman? The people have been complaining to me, and I said, oh, I'll go talk to the king, and I'll give him my story, and he'll understand my story compared to his story, and he'll give in, and he'll bring Absalom back. Only the people never complained to her. Who gave her the words to speak? Joab. One person, Joab. And why is he playing this game with this woman? He thinks David's heart is already towards Absalom, which is wrong. But if he thinks that, why has he got to go through this whole process? Verse 17, then thine handmaid said, the word of my lord the king shall not be comfortable for as an angel of God, so is my lord the king to discern good and bad. Therefore, the Lord thy God will be with thee. Oh, she flatters him up. You're just like an angel. In her role play, she's saying what should be done. Verse 15, I will now speak to the king, as if she has authority to tell the king what to do. Verse 16, for the king will hear, insisting the king would listen to her. Verse 17, saying the king has the ability to discern good and bad, meaning that he should see bad as she explains it to him. David was a little more perceptive than she gave him credit for. Verse 18, then the king answered and said unto the woman, hide not from me, I pray thee, the thing that I shall ask. David said, I'm going to ask you a question. Don't you lie to me. If you're standing in front of the king and the king says, don't you lie to me, you going to tell the truth? The end of verse 18, the woman said, let my lord the king now speak. Oh, well, that was nice of her. Say the king can now speak. Verse 19, the king said, is not the hand of Joab with thee in all of this? Oh, he got it. And the woman answered and said, "As thy soul liveth, my lord the king, none can turn to the right hand or to the left from aught that my lord the king hath spoken. For thy servant Joab, he bade me and put all these words in the mouth of thine handmaid." Sure enough, "You're too smart for me." Yes, he did. Then she added this, verse 20, "To fetch about this form of speech hath thy servant Joab done this thing." Joab made it all up. "My Lord is wise, according to the wisdom of an angel of God, to know all things that are in the earth." You figured it out. However, David grants Joab's request. Apparently, he gets a hold of Joab in verse 21. "The king said unto Joab," so something has happened between verse 20 and verse 21, and he is now talking directly to Joab. "And the king said unto Joab, behold, now I have done this thing. Go therefore, bring the young man Absalom again." Joab's grateful. Joab fell to the ground on his face and bowed himself and thanked the king. And Joab's, why is Joab so obsessed with Absalom? Stay tuned to that. "Today thy servant knoweth that I have found grace in thy sight, my lord, O king, and that the king hath fulfilled the request of his servant." Well, why did you have to go through a wily woman to get it? Verse 23, Joab didn't waste any time. He goes and gets Absalom, bringing back. However, verse 24, "The king said, let him turn to his own house and let him not see my face. So Absalom returned to his own house and saw not the king's face." Now, Absalom was well received by the people. Verse 25, "But in all Israel there was none to be so much praised as Absalom for his beauty, from the sole of his foot even to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him." Ooh, he's pretty. Oh, handsome, I guess. "And when he pulled his hair," that means he shaved or got a haircut, for it was at every year's end that he pulled his hair. Once a year haircut. How many of you men get a haircut once a year? How much hair would you have at the end of 1 year? Well, this is how much hair he had. "He weighed the hair of his head at 200 shekels after the king's weight. His hair at the end of 1 year weighed 3 pounds. Now, hair isn't all that heavy. You have to have a lot of hair to get to 3 pounds. That's a lot of hair. Some people have thin hair. Some people have thick hair. Apparently, he had really thick, heavy hair. And verse 27 tells us he had 4 children, 3 sons, 1 daughter, whom he named after his sister, Tamar. Now, Absalom really wanted to talk to David. And so in verse 28, "So Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem and saw not the king's face. Therefore, Absalom sent for Joab to have sent him to the king. But he would not come to him. And when he sent again the second time, he would not come." So he calls, he sends a message. He didn't call him. Didn't have phones. But sent a message to Joab, "Would you come over here? And I want to for you to make an arrangement that I can speak to my father." Now, for some reason, Joab did not respond to this message. I wonder if David had put him under orders. So Joab doesn't respond. Absalom sends a second messenger. Joab doesn't respond the second time. Now, if somebody doesn't respond to you 2 times, what would you do to try to get his attention? Well, this is what Joab did, verse 30. Therefore he sent unto his servants, "See, Joab's field is near mine, and he hath barley there. Go and set it on fire." And Absalom's servants set Absalom's field on fire. It burned his crop to get his attention. Why would you do that? It worked. Verse 31, then Joab arose and came to Absalom unto his house and said unto him, "Wherefore have thy servants set my field on fire?" And Absalom answered Joab, "Behold, I sent unto thee, saying, come hither, that I may send thee to the king to say, wherefore am I come from Geshur? It had been good for me to have been there still. Now, therefore, let me see the king's face, and if there be any iniquity in me, let him kill me. I want to see the king. I want to know why I was brought back here. I could have just stayed there. If I'm not going to see the king, I may as well stay where I was. Why come back here?" Joab came to the king and told him, and when he had called Absalom, he came to the king and bowed himself, his face to the ground before the king, and the king kissed Absalom, and everything seems to be fine. Why would you burn somebody's field in order to get their attention? First of all, why didn't Joab just go to David and say, "Please bring back Absalom"? Why did he have to go through a wily woman? Secondly, why did Absalom have to burn? Why couldn't Absalom just walk over? His field is there next door. Why couldn't he just walk over to Joab's house and talk to him? Do you see what I mean by games people play? It's ridiculous. It's a very simple lesson for us in all of this. It's just this simple. Romans chapter 12, verse 17. Romans chapter 12, verse 17, the second part of it, second part of the verse, we read it earlier. It's simply this: provide things honest in the sight of all men. Just be honest. Job didn't have to have a woman lie to present his request to the king. Absalom didn't have to do something criminal in order to get Joab's attention. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 21. Providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. I'll just read the next few verses. 1 Thessalonians 4:12, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, that is unbelievers. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 18, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. You know that old thing we used to hear when I was a kid? Honesty is the best policy. Do you know that's biblical? Don't play games. Don't manipulate people. Just be honest. That's what God is. Remember those three little words I gave you at the beginning? God is true. He's truthful. He's honest always. And I don't know, these were big things, but sometimes just in little ways in our personal lives, we might not be quite honest just a little, shade a little bit, just to get our way. No. Just be honest. You might find out it's not so hard to get what you want if you just be honest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this simple lesson. Thank you for showing it to us through these dramatic events. Give us hearts with a willingness to be true, just like you. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.